Welcome to the SNF Spotlight Series, brought to you by Renewal Rehab, a dynamic therapy company that provides full-service therapy for nursing homes. Trust Renewal to renew your loved one. On this episode, you will be hearing from Kelly McCullough. She's a clinical dietitian with Fresenius.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of the SNF Spotlight Series. I'm your host, Yitz Rubin, Director of Business Development with Renewal Rehab, and I have the privilege to speak with Kelly McCullough. She is a clinical dietitian for Fresenius Medical Care. Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Hello, Yitz. How are you? It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm a clinical dietitian working with individuals who are on dialysis treatment. And that's what my main focus is. I work with people who have health conditions that are related to their renal failure in most cases. They have high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, a variety of things. And we deal with helping them lose weight so that they can get a transplant. We help them get their labs in line so that when the transplant team looks at their application on paper, that it's something that they feel like, oh, this would be a good person for a transplant. So that's one of our big goals. But my focus day in and day out is motivating the patients, motivating them to do the types of things that they need to do, to eat the way they need to eat and to take their medications the way that they should so that they can live the most healthy life that they can while on dialysis. Dialysis takes so much time for them. They're at the center three times a week. About 4 hours. By the time you do the things you do before your treatment and after your treatment, you're there for about 5 hours total. And so that's a lot of time to spend. And so they're spending that time, plus it adjusts their lives. Some of them still are working. And so that's a big adjustment for them to have to put that into their day. And so I try to help them make it as an easy transition for them and make it as conducive to their life as possible.
So Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about what during COVID-19, how has that impacted you caring for the patients and some of the safety precautions?
Yes. What we do is we screen every single patient before they come in. We didn't allow anybody that wasn't a patient to come in the building, and the patients were screened each and every time they came in with a questionnaire. We took their temperature, and if they had any symptoms at all, we would move them to a different room where they would be evaluated. And then if they needed to be sent out, there was a separate dialysis center where they could go while they were positive, where they could still have their dialysis. So we didn't have them come in inside the clinic around anybody else at all, except the person that was doing the screening.
Right.
And of course, we were using all of our PPE. So we had on a mask, we had on a face shield, a gown. We were wearing scrubs. We had our gown, and then we wear gloves.
Right.
And so we made sure that each patient had the right type of mask that they could use in the center. So everyone's wearing their masks and keeping their distance. And so we made sure we spread out the chairs in the reception area so that they weren't sitting really near each other.
So what about the cheerleading outfit? That was totally covered.
Well, the cheerleading outfit was so that I could help motivate the patient. They have to take a medication every time they eat. It's called a phosphorus binder. It's supposed to help clean the phosphorus out of their system from the foods. There's phosphorus in the foods. It's a preservative in the foods. And so if you don't, the kidneys can't eliminate that anymore. So we have to use manually. We have to do that. So they have to take this medication every time they eat to get the phosphorus out of the foods. And then that's something they have to remember each time. So it's a major life change to have to remember to take medicine every time you eat. So it's a big deal. And there's a lot of consequences and a lot of things that happens to the body if they don't take that medicine. So
Kelly,
that's what I'm doing.
Would you say that people that have had COVID, or can COVID cause people to potentially need dialysis in the future?
That's been shown to be true. We're finding that because of the damage to the inside of the blood vessels that occurs during COVID, that's something that causes. Usually people who have lost their kidney function, the most common reason is diabetes that is uncontrolled. Not controlled diabetes, but diabetes is uncontrolled. And then the second one is high blood pressure. And both of those things have to do with their vascular diseases. So, and it makes sense. So when we started seeing that, when we started seeing people have some kidney failure, even if it was just acute kidney injury temporarily while they were sick, and then they regained their function after they recovered from COVID, it's not unusual. It wasn't surprising to see that, that because it was attacking the inside lining of the blood vessel.
Right. So you're suspecting, it seems like maybe there may be in the future more patients needing dialysis.
It's possible. What really increases the need for dialysis is the fact that there's a growing number of people with uncontrolled diabetes and uncontrolled blood pressure. So those are the two main factors. There were some consequences to COVID-19, and it wasn't surprising that those consequences occurred. And I'm sure we'll be seeing that as time goes by, because COVID isn't going away. We've learned how to treat it better, and we've learned a lot more about it and how to treat it and how to go about preventing it and those kinds of things, but it's here. And so we're going to be dealing with it. So I'm sure there are going to be people that are going to, their body's going to react that way.
What would you say, you being, dealing with kidney disease, hypertension, and weight control increasing in the United States, what advice would you have for patients to potentially avoid going on to dialysis in the future?
Diet and lifestyle is a big part of it.
So you're saying like GQ?
Well, it has more to do with, because we have so many people that, the reason that diabetes is becoming such a big issue is because, one of the reasons is because it's type 2 diabetes, which has to do with lifestyle, and it makes our body insulin resistant. So it takes more insulin. Glucose can't be absorbed to be used for energy without insulin. It's that they come as a package deal. So if you don't have enough insulin, if you don't make enough insulin, or if your tissues are resistant to the insulin, which means you have to have more insulin to get the same amount of glucose into your tissues for energy, whether it's in your brain or your heart or whatever, your muscle that needs the glucose for the energy, that means that either way, it's impaired. And when glucose is hanging around in the bloodstream by, you know, on its own, it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be used for energy right away. So if it hangs around in the bloodstream, it causes damage. And it's kind of like having glass shards in your bloodstream. And every time your heart beats, it pops them around all over the place, and they're floating around and popping the inside of the blood vessels. And that's going to do one of two things. It's either going to scar them enough to where they sclerose, and so then we have atherosclerosis, which we know causes heart disease, or we have an injury occur where the body sends blood to that area, and then you have a blood clot there. And then that blood clot can let loose and cause a stroke. And those are the problems. Most people with kidney disease, if they pass away, they pass away from usually a vascular or heart condition. So that's why we try to help them control. So I've worked a lot with diabetes prior to becoming a dietitian with Fresenius and working with renal patients. That's all I did was diabetes for several years. And I worked with people with type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes.
Oh, wow. So what would you say, like, in general, with especially with COVID coming around, has this been more difficult for to get patients, let's say, that are in SNFs? I mean, a lot of the people that are listening to this are in nursing facilities. Is that difficult to have them, the transportation coming into the in-house care? Or do you recommend bringing in your equipment to the SNFs and providing it there?
Okay. In our particular situation, I don't know how it's done everywhere else, but in our particular situation, the nursing homes had their own vans that were accommodating to them, and they would transport the patient from the long-term care facility to us in their own transportation. They didn't have them use the public transportation. There's public transportation that's made for medical needs, and they didn't have them use that. They transported them themselves. So in our situation, that was what was happening. I don't know what's happening in other places. And that worked out well for them because they could make sure that things were sanitized and done the way that they should be done. Our patients who were in long-term care facilities were thrilled to come to dialysis because in their nursing home, they were being confined to their rooms and they weren't getting to congregate during mealtime. They weren't able to do as many of the activities as they would have been able to do. I understand some of them had patients in several different long-term care facilities. So it depended on the facility, they took care of it differently. But they might do group therapy session out and they would have them just wheel out if they were in a wheelchair, or they'd come out in a chair and they would come out to the doorway of their room and they would be in the hallway and they would help them do those kinds of things in the hallway as opposed, or they would come into their room. But they didn't get to enjoy being around their friends, and then of course their family couldn't come in. And so that was very difficult for them. And several of them had battled depression and other things because of that. So it was very difficult for them. But now in Texas, we've opened them up. We've opened up our long-term care facilities. Have y'all done that in your area yet?
In Illinois, I'm not sure what exactly.
Okay. Well, they've opened them up now, but they're still very careful. You have to make an appointment. You like families have to make an appointment and plan. And they, of course, they screen them before they come in, and they are only allowed to go to that specific person. They're not allowed to just congregate, you know, to roam around the facility because that's their home, you know, so that they don't, they're not letting them go all over the place. So they're still being very cautious.
So Kelly, a typical patient is coming in. I mean, every dialysis patient comes in for 3 times a week for 4 hours at a time. What sort of entertainment, like how do they keep themselves busy during that time? I guess besides for the cheerleading.
Yeah, because I can't do a cheer pep rally for them the whole 4 hours. Although that would probably be a pretty good workout.
Is that a good way to avoid being a dialysis patient, is doing being a cheerleader?
Yeah, I think it might be. Plenty of exercise. Well, I'll tell you what, they have TVs. Each of them have their own TV that they can change the channel and the volume, and they have little headphones that they can use. And if they don't have them, we have them provided for them. And they can bring their own devices if they want to, because we have Wi-Fi that they can, you know, tap into. So they can use their own devices. They have little tables that sit out, that wing out from that are attached to the chair, so they can put things there.
So it's sort of like an airplane, like a first class airplane.
Kind of like that. Yeah, kind of like that.
Do they get peanuts, like a little thing of peanuts or anything?
Well, before COVID, there were times when we might give little snacks or whatever for them to take home. We're not supposed to eat during the treatment. Some people do, but they're advised not to. But during this COVID time, nobody's been allowed to have any food brought in at all.
Right. Did you ever think about maybe putting like a crying baby next to them so they really feel like they're flying?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we did the cheerleading pep rally and I was motivating them to take their medications, you know, you always have the one or two that are like, oh, what are you doing? You're being too loud, you know, all this. And so we just, I'm sorry, Mr. So-and-so. We'll calm down for you here in a few minutes, you know. And then they're fine. But I do lots of different things. Like one year, because I like football, I think I told you I like football, so we celebrate football season a lot. We had everybody got to wear a shirt or a hat or both from their favorite football team, whichever it was, if it was their local team or college or professional, whatever. And we all did it. And of course, there was a lot of bragging rights and a lot of people giving each other a hard time over what their team was and all of that. And of course, all the staff, we all participated. And so the patients enjoy those kinds of things. For the holidays, we do some special stuff. And I have a little poem for Thanksgiving that I recite, and I have a special hat, and I do my little performance for them with that. At Christmas time, we've sung Christmas carols. I had a little microphone, and one of the other nurse educators came in, and we did some Christmas caroling with the patients and told them to join with us and sing and that kind of thing. Of course, we decorate up the place and we give them gifts. We give them gifts for last year. I don't know what we'll do this year with COVID. I'm not sure what they'll allow us to do. But last year and in years prior, we gave them turkeys to take home or chickens that were already roasted to take home. Because some of these folks don't, they may not have, some of them have families to do things with, but some don't.
Right.
So we wanted them to have some things for them to take home. And we always give them a Christmas gift. The company gives them a Christmas gift. And then the clinic itself, we usually do something extra for them. And they enjoy that. So we're always doing something active for the patients and giving them little coupons to take places and do all kinds of fun things. So,
yeah, Kelly, it sounds like you're really people that are in such a difficult situation, you're really making their life a lot brighter.
We try.
Yeah. So keep up the amazing work. I'm sure it's tough, but it's enjoyable. I'm sure you see some results and see people coming home a little happier. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and give us a little bit of...
Thank you. I appreciate you asking. It was an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SNF Spotlight Series, sponsored by Renewal Rehab, the best therapy provider for SNFs. Trust Renewal to renew your loved one. We will be interviewing some of the leading nursing home professionals in the country, as well as many healthcare heroes that are sacrificing day in and day out to help your loved ones recover and come home to you. Please subscribe to our channel, as there will be many more new and exciting episodes from our healthcare heroes.